I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Tonight's video is about this kid and his grandfather who are out hunting in the woods. And what they witness while they are out there in the woods is a hunting trip they will never forget. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. Drizzle taps lightly on the leaves all around us. The smell of pine rich in the air as we crept through the undergrowth, my granddad and I. I run my tongue along my teeth, focusing. I raise the rifle a little higher. A Nosler. A way higher quality weapon than I should be using. The thing is wasted on me. I'm an appalling hunter. I'm not even sure if I agree with it, to be honest. Hunting, I mean. Ethically speaking. I mean my granddad and I eat basically everything we kill, and to be honest, I don't kill a whole lot. I send many of my shots deliberately wide. I just do this to hang out with him, really. He's a fascinating man, and the guy likes taking me out into the woods, so I just go along with it. It's fine. It's good quality time that I'm lucky to have. But we're stalking a pair of deer right now. Big things are well. I'm pretty sure the creatures know we're here, but you could get surprisingly close provided you didn't actually give off any sign that you were trying to shoot them.
Stay low, Robbie, he murmurs through the side of his mouth. Move your right hand past the bush, then it's a clean shot. Take it when ready.
I like my name. Named after the man beside me, as it happens, Robert. He being Robert, I, for me of course, Robert II. I nod and creep into position, taking careful aim as instructed. I see a thumbs up in the corner of my eye, and I shoot. I miss. The sound ricochets around the forest, and birds burst from a nearby tree, shooting up towards the sky. The deer wheel around in a panic and make to leave.
God damn it!
My granddad mutters, and raises up from behind the bush, bringing his rifle with him and firing off a quick shot. My ego is somewhat relieved by the fact that he misses too, and we both watch as the deer disappear into the undergrowth and shadow of the forest. The man lowers his weapon and looks at me. I did the same and gave him a shrug. We hold eye contact for a second, then he breaks with a chuckle, shaking his head.
Damn it, Robbie. Every time I think I've taught you something, you manage to pull off some magnificent blunder just like that.
Hey, well, you know what they say. You shouldn't judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree.
I ain't judging you with the tree climbing ability. You're my grandson. I'm judging you on your ability to swim, fishy.
I point to the shattered branch my granddad caused when he fired his shot. I truly am learning from the best.
Bastard.
He snorts with a laugh, thumping me on the chest.
Come on, let's track him. Plenty of daylight left.
We push around the brush and head through the little clearing, stepping over the fallen log and making up to follow the route the deer both took. But my granddad suddenly stops and holds up his hand with his head cocked to the side. I pause likewise, waiting, holding my breath and listening intently. My ears hone in on the sound of rustling foliage and snapping twigs. It grows louder, heading towards us in the exact direction the deer were running from.
Jesus, my granddad grunts. They're coming back this way. They'll have seen a...
But he is cut off by the sudden emergence of the deer through the bushes ahead. rushing right at us from the green, gloomy shade. Shit! I shout out loud in a panic. The deer make no attempt to run around us in the slightest, and run instead directly towards our position. I raise the rifle and take rapid, shaky aim.
Damn it, Steve, down!
Granddad shouts, grabbing me by the sleeve and hauling me to the forest floor back behind the log. Steve? The air escapes me as I crash with my granddad down to the ground, and the deer jump right over us. My granddad instantly takes position, cocking and aiming his own rifle over the top of the log, deadly focused.
Something must have made him run like that. They have seen a wolf or a bear.
A wolf? A bear?
I'd be surprised to see either at this time of day, but as I said, something made him run.
My granddad remains cool and composed, the barrel of the rifle fixed on the damaged woodland ahead and along the deer's path. I stick close, watching out in all directions in case we are approached from the side, gun cocked and heart pounding. But nothing comes. We wait for a tense laden minute, then another, muscles aching with the stress of simply holding ourselves in preemptive positions, but as I said, nothing else comes towards us. My granddad cautiously gets to his feet.
Weird,
he mutters.
We better move out of here. Come on, stay alert, but let's go.
I nod in reply, and together we make a swift but carefully exit from the little grove, heading back through the woods and retracting our steps. After what I hope is something of a safe distance, I asked my granddad a question. Why did you call me Steve back then?
Huh?
When the deer were coming at me, you called me Steve. You said, Steve, get down.
Huh, is that so?
My granddad asks, scratching his chin.
I don't know. You know Steve, though, right? Old friend of mine. I swear I've mentioned him before.
I consider. Yeah, maybe once or twice. My granddad shakes his head.
I've definitely talked about him more than that. You probably weren't listening.
He sighs.
It was just the moment, I suppose. The way you were standing, the deer coming right at you, raising your gun. What would have happened to you if you shot one, eh? It would have gone right down and knocked you out with it.
I don't know. It wasn't all that big.
It was bigger than you're giving it credit for. And at that speed, would have flattened you. It's what I told Steve all those years ago. He did the exact same thing, the idiot.
What's he up to these days? My granddad does not reply. He only looks out into the depths of the forest. We're atop a high hill, and the trees give way to a view across the deep green valley. The sky is gray overhead. The man tuts and shakes his head.
Steve? Steve isn't around much anymore.
Oh, sorry. He's not dead, is he? My granddad grimaces.
I don't know exactly.
You don't know?
Look, just drop it, kid. A story for another day. Let's just get back to the campsite, cook that rabbit we caught earlier.
He pauses, putting out a hand, and I stop at once, following his line of sight. I hadn't even spotted it, but it chills my blood to see it now, gives me the shivers even remembering. We stand only a few feet away from a deer. It's one of the same deer as before, I'm sure of it. Neither of us had spotted it because the thing is standing entirely still, like a statue, a taxidermy almost.
The hell?
Granddad whispers, staring at the creature in surprise. He squints and then leans over to me.
It's breathing, though only barely. Look down there at its chest.
I do so, taking the spectacle in. The deer has one hoofed foot placed against the trunk of a tree, which in itself is quite curious already, but the animal does not move even slightly. It does not blink.
Hey!
My granddad barks, then louder.
Hey!
He claps his hands, but the deer does not react.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Then, in time with the sudden flurry of water from the rain-soaked leaves above us, the deer slowly turns its head, all the way around until it is staring at my granddad and myself, one eye on each. My stomach drops, though I am unsure as to why. The deer is, I don't know, something is wrong.
"This thing must be sick," my granddad murmurs. "We'll take a different route back, go wide of this creature. We're too close to it as it is."
"Yeah," I mumble. The two of us edge away and through the undergrowth, taking a new direction as the deer watches us go, deadly silent. I shiver as it at last passes out of sight, lost behind us to the watery green shadows of the forest. Later that night, after returning to camp and preparing and eating our catch, I bid my granddad goodnight and crawl into my tent, zipping the flaps up after me. I fumble around in the near darkness for a while, my lamp casting intense black shadows out in all directions, as I shift it from place to place, trying to work my way into my sleeping bag. It doesn't feel particularly cold at the moment, but the temperature has the potential to suddenly drop at any given minute, and I don't want to wake up frozen solid at 3 a.m. As it happens, I don't. I awaken at 3:15, not frozen, but slick with sweat, roused from a dreamless slumber. My ears prick up at the sound of rustling and snuffling outside, right by my tent. I hold my breath and grit my teeth. It's this fear of the unknown that gets me. It's probably just a rabbit or a hare, but the possibility that it could be something larger, something more dangerous, is impossible to ignore. For some reason, my mind does not go to an image of a bear or a mountain lion or anything like that. It goes to the deer, frozen in place, eyes unblinking, head turning as it watches my granddad and I pass by. Something presses up against the tent, right by my head. I wince and stare at the bulging material through the darkness. I try not to think about the fact that I am separated by the beasts of the forest by a pair of what are effectively thin, flimsy sheets of fabric. Just ignore it, I tell myself. Ignore it and it'll go away. I quietly roll over and scrunch up my eyes, determined to be a man and not get all frightened by the presence of some raccoon or squirrel. The creature sniffles some more, rustling about in the grass in the dark. My heart rate increases as I hear the thing pawing against the tent's outer lining. And then, for a second, it stops entirely, and to my horror, I hear my granddad's voice.
"It's breathing, though only barely."
The sentence comes crisp and sharp through the general murmur and backing breeze of the forest. The sentence is entirely devoid of cadence, as if read from a book by someone who had never known English.
"Look down there at its chest," says the voice. "Fuck."
Panting now, I do not know what I am supposed to do. It's my granddad outside playing a prank on me. It has to be. It must be, because there is literally no other explanation that makes sense. Regardless of the fact that I had never heard the man speak in such a way, even in humor, in his entire life. He must be sleepwalking. That's it. My explosive heart rate cools just a bit. That's it. It's the only possible explanation that makes sense. Then if that's the case, then I can't just leave him to wander around outside. Despite my fear, I gently ease my way out of my sleeping bag, You might think me an idiot, but if my granddad is wandering around in the woods in a daze, he could get lost or seriously hurt. So I push aside my irrational terror, and with a shaking hand, I reach for the zip, pulling it open with a noise that is far too loud for comfort. F it. In for a penny, in for a pound. I yank the zip open, and then the next, and push my head out into the night, the cool air washing across my face as I raise the lantern to cast away the darkness. What I see is nothing. I jump outside the tent, staring, lifting the lantern as the light falls across the long grasses of the nearby trees. We're still on the ridge of the valley, but the valley itself is shrouded in darkness. A small section of visible moon illuminates the very tips of the trees in silver, but I am too preoccupied to properly appreciate the natural beauty for now. I pace around the tent in a circle and see no evidence of my grandfather. Granddad? I hiss out into the night, turning and raising the lantern up high. Still nothing. Something chirps softly from between the branches of the deep woods. I turn to face it with throat dry, but the trees give away no secrets. I cross the grass and crouch down by my granddad's tent. The zip remained closed. Granddad? I whisper to no response. I try again, a little louder. Granddad. I hear a groan and a grumble from inside.
Huh?
I hear him mutter, then...
The hell?
Granddad, are you good?
Of course I'm good. What's the matter with you?
All right, nothing. See you tomorrow. He murmurs something under his breath, and I hear the rustle of his sleeping bag as he rolls over. I stand up straight and stare out into the night. For a second time, that chirping sound rings out from the branches, and I make a hasty return to my tent, zipping the thing up tight and secure, shivering as I try to force myself back to sleep. It takes a long time, and I do not recall drifting off. My dreams are disturbing, and are largely comprised of the discovery that something crept into my tent, dream distorted and warped into an impossible size. My dream self scrambles around from place to place, as a nightmare slithers and swims through the shadows like water. It is a welcome relief when I awake safe and sound, to the faded glare of tent-filtering morning sunlight shining into my face.
Ugh,
I mutter, sitting up straight and groggily rubbing my eyes. For a second or two, the reality of last night blurs into the dreams, but as I remember the truth, that bitterly familiar anxiety settles back in. I clamber out of the tent into the warming morning air to find my granddad washing his face in a pot of water.
Morning, he grunts. How do you feel this morning?
Not great, to be honest, I reply. You were sleepwalking last night.
Huh?
Granddad glances up at me but continues with his routine.
No, I don't sleepwalk.
You were mumbling nonsense and bashing into my tent like at 3 a.m., I tell him. I came to check on you, but you must have just gotten back to bed. My granddad pauses and looks right at me.
So that did happen then. You disturbing me. Thought I might have dreamt it.
He stands up and scratches his jaw.
Tell me exactly what happened.
I relay the story, and my granddad remains silent until the end. Slightly paled, he looks around at our surroundings and down into the valley.
I frickin' knew it,
he mutters, almost imperceptibly.
It's the same place. The exact same place.
What? I ask him. What do you mean?
I came here with Steve once. I knew I'd been here before. I thought I'd picked the location pretty randomly, but I guess my subconscious had other ideas.
Granddad, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. He stares out over the valley and I follow his gaze. We watch as a small flock of dark birds fluttering around in a circle above the trees. again and again and again. Around and around they go.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He turns to look straight at me, his expression grim, perhaps even afraid a little. And this unsettles me deeply. Nothing is supposed to scare that man.
Pack up, Robbie. Make it good and be quick. We're out of here.
In another atmosphere, I may have questioned him, but the vibe is clear. I do as he says at once, and in silence, we quickly pack our own gear, loading up our backpacks with constant furtive glances to the trees. The forest had dried somewhat since yesterday's rain, but the sky overhead is still a swirl of gray. We sit out beneath its gloom, all trace of our modest campsite thoroughly erased. My granddad's pace is a little faster than normal. Bracken and pine needles are crunched underfoot as he strides through the woodlands. He clenches his rifle a little tighter, too. I break the tension. Granddad, what the hell is going on? What aren't you telling me?
I was an idiot once before, Granddad replies, as a breeze whistles its way through the boughs of the trees. And I lost a good friend. I won't let the same thing happen to you.
We push through the bushes and pass by a large pond surrounded by thick, tangled weeds. I glance over to the water. The water is a grim gray-green and covered in a curious floating moss. The surface is broken by the heads of three deer, standing perfectly still. The entirety of their bodies below the necks are submerged, and they stare at us as we pass by them. On another day, I might have found the sight quite comical, but right now I feel nothing but cold, bitter fear. One of the deer rises up from the water, rippling it quietly, rearing up onto its hind legs, and my granddad grabs my sleeve and hauls me along.
Don't stop moving. We're getting out of here. Just keep moving, Robbie.
Our steps become fast, our breathing a little more labored. The trees rush by, branches scratch at my arms and my face. We push out into a clearing, and my granddad skids to an immediate halt.
What is it? I ask, panting.
Something moves in the shadows of the trees, shifting between the branches and the clearing's opposite side. The hair at the back of my neck bristles, and I instinctively raise the rifle. The sounds of the birds and the breeze fade away, and the air itself seems to darken as the shifting shadow ahead draws closer. It is difficult, near impossible, to make out its exact shape through the layers of branch and foliage. But I swear, I could see a rough, vaguely humanoid silhouette amongst the shadows and the dark green blown blur.
"Did you come back for me, Robert?" whispers a voice.
My muscles tense up in reaction to my name. It is my name it speaks, or my granddad's. My granddad sucks some air in through his teeth. He begins to carefully sidestep his way around the clearing, and I copy his movements.
"You wouldn't leave me behind again, would you?"
The voice is not dissimilar to the one I heard last night. It is different, sure, but the cadence, or lack thereof, is much the same. My granddad raises the rifle, cocks it, but he does not fire.
"Keep going around, kid," he says to me. "To the left. Pass through that part of the clearing there. I'll be right behind you."
I start to edge my way around the clearing, never taking my eye off the shadow and the trees just ahead. I'm trying so hard to focus on it, to understand what it is that I am seeing, but I can't. The very branches themselves seem to be moving, cracking and rippling in the shade. The figure takes a sudden step forward.
Run!
My granddad shouts, raising the rifle and firing a loud shot up into the air. Unprepared for such a sudden noise, my ears ring as I scramble and stumble through the forest along a natural path of sorts between the trees, though I stumble to a halt when I realize my granddad is not behind me. He told me to run, but do I go back for him? I have to. It's a no-brainer. So I swivel around and prepare to charge back to the clearing when the man himself staggers out through the bushes towards me, face white as a sheet.
Get that damn thing out of my face, you idiot!
He grunts as he shoves away the barrel of my rifle, and together we race through the forest. My granddad dumps his backpack and I do likewise, leaving the equipment behind as we tear through the undergrowth, way back to where we parked the truck the other day. When at last we see it, waiting for us at the edge of the dirt track road, we throw ourselves inside, and my granddad stuffs in the key and turns it with a clank. The engine revs into life. The wheels spin and away we go. Back through the wilds, down the long roads of the woodlands. I summon the courage after a while, and once the air has cooled, I ask my granddad what he saw, what happened after he fired the rifle.
Thing tried to speak to me again. The deep woods, Robbie. I'm sorry for taking you there. They can screw with a man's mind, those places. Real, real bad.
There was something there, though, wasn't there? Something real.
Yes, I think so.
Was it? I falter. Who was it, Granddad?
A nightmare, that's all. Something that shouldn't exist, by all laws of nature.
Its voice. Do you recognize the voice?
You said you heard someone outside your tent last night, right?
I nod.
It sounded like me?
Yeah, I reply.
But it wasn't me, was it?
No, I reply. No, it wasn't.
Sometimes we hear voices. Don't mean they belong to anyone.
So why didn't you shoot it?
What?
His hands flex and clench around the wheel. You fired the rifle, but you aimed it up into the air, not at the shadow. Why did you do that? To this, my granddad had no answer. He only reacts briefly across the pat my shoulder. And as the clouds swirl overhead, we spent the rest of the long drive home in a contemplative silence. Silence, with the occasional glance to the thickets of trees that pass us by.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.